And we're talking today again about how to develop a strong spirit. I want you to look with me at first, let's see, what verse is that? 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice with me in verse 7 and 8, and I'm going to read this from the NLT. It's an interesting way they go ahead and break this down. It says, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Now, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and also in the life which is to come. Another translation says this: exercise daily in God, no spiritual flabbiness, please. So just as the body can be physically fit by diet, by rest and exercise, so your spirit man can be spiritually fit and spiritually strengthened by the right diet, by resting in the Lord, and by exercise. So one way, not the only way, to strengthen your spirit is by exercising your faith. Exercising your faith. Now I want to share with you a very familiar verse of scripture that many have heard probably hundreds of times since you've been in this church, or maybe since your spiritual walk with the Lord has begun. It's over in the book of James, and it's found in chapter 1 and in verse 22. And it says this: "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Now notice this: deceiving your own selves. I saw something this weekend that blessed me. The word doers from Strong's Greek study means performers. Be a performer of the word. And then Mr. Strong said, specifically a poet. I never thought of being a doer of the word of God in relationship to being a poet. So let's talk about that just for a moment. The subtitle of this message is Poetry in Motion. The Passion Translation of James chapter 1, 22 says, "Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life." Now, I looked up the word poet yesterday, and one of the definitions of a poet is, a poet has the special ability of imagination, but also the special ability of expression through their words. So we could say this today, that a doer of the word of God, in a sense, is like a poet, who through their words and actions give full expression in their lives to the grace of God and to the goodness of God. We have all heard the phrase, poetry in motion. When poetry in motion is used, it's oftentimes used as someone that is moving gracefully. I can remember when we went to St. Petersburg, which was Leningrad at one time in Russia. The first night we got there, we were jet lagged and we were tired. The next day we were to begin ministering to the Russian people, which was a great honor. But they took us, as all things, to a ballet. Well, I'm not much of a ballet guy, but I'll tell you what, the grace in which they moved on that stage was something to behold. I'm not much of a ballet guy, but I am a sports guy. And when I think of poetry in motion, I think of Stephen Curry. How many of you know who Steph Curry is? Now, Steph Curry, through training and through exercise, expresses one of the most beautiful three-point artistry I've ever seen. I mean, it is literally poetry in motion. Now, I can't do what Steph does, but I can do what Mark does. Not real poetic, but I'm trying. So, poetry in motion. Through expression, through execution. And when you give your life to God, And when you give your life to God's word and express it by being a doer of the word of God, I'm telling you what, your life will show forth the blessings of God. Now listen to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says we're all epistles. We're written and we are read of all men. Do you know that people are reading your life? What kind of message are you sending through your life? What are people reading when they look at your life? You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, in the Passion says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill, listen to this, the destiny he has given to each and every one of us. Amen. How many of you are interested in fulfilling his destiny? Anybody over here interested in fulfilling his purpose for your life? How about this section over here? How about we all raise our hand and say, your will be done. Your destiny be fulfilled. Woo, glory to God. And when your destiny is fulfilled, brothers and sisters, it is poetry in motion. Some of you are a poet and you just don't know it. Amen. Say it with me. I am a doer. I'm not just a hearer. I am a doer of the word of God. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, I want you to read it together with me from the NLT. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Brother Hagin said in his book, when he talks about training or developing the human spirit, he said this: begin to practice being a doer of the word of God by doing in all circumstances what the word tells you to do. How many of you know the word of God says, don't worry? And I'll add this, be happy. I've discovered this, that the less I worry, the happier I am. The less I worry, the lighter I am. The greater sense of humor I have. Jane knows that. I call her about every day. And sometimes she can tell, well, he's got something on his mind, maybe that he shouldn't have. But other times I'll call her and joke around. She says, well, he ain't worried. He's happy. So I got a word from heaven for you. Don't worry. Be happy. And enjoy your deliverance. Enjoy your salvation. He does not want us to go through life all legalistic and all burdened out and bummed out by what's going on around us. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit so we can live light and easy in his presence. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't worry. Don't worry. Now, every one of us are responsible, if you will, to walk in the light that we have received. Now, somebody says, well, what is light? Well, number one, God is light. He's the Father of lights. And the Father of lights has put his light in his word. I believe the psalmist said it this way, that the entrance of his word, what does it do? The entrance of his word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Some of us qualify for that. Aren't you glad for the light of God's word that has entered into your life? Now, I looked the word entrance up yesterday, and I discovered this, that the word entrance is not just that you heard it, but that you see it. There's a difference between hearing the word and seen the Word. When the entrance of His Word dawns upon your spirit, you're not just cataloging it as information that you know now. No, you have not just heard it, but I see it. I see it. Because now that I see it, I'm going to do it.
That's right. Amen.
I see that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to act like it. I see that I am the head and not the tail, and I'm going to act like it. I see that I am the healed and not the sick, and I'm going to act like it. I see it's God's will for me to increase and not decrease. So I'm not going to carry myself with a poor mouth attitude. I'm going to carry myself with a prosperous attitude that my God is El Shaddai. He's the God that's more than enough. I'm going to act like it because I see it. I see debt free. It's not just something others have experienced. I'm seeing it down here in my spirit. Ooh, glory to God. And it shall be done unto us according to your faith. Say with me, the entrance of His Word is giving me light. And so then, the more that you walk in the light of what you've heard, the more of His life that you're going to enjoy. Amen. Don't devalue light once you've heard it. Don't pretend for one moment that you haven't heard the light of God's Word. You sitting in this church year after year, decade after decade, you've heard a lot. But are you living it? Are you acting on it? Are you realizing it in your life? I pray that it be thus and that it be so. Joshua 1:8 says this. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now notice this. That thou mayest observe, that you may be able to see, that you may be able to have enlightenment, that you may observe to what? To do. All that is written therein. Now what is the result of that? For then you will make your way prosperous. Nobody has to make your way prosperous for you. You can make your own way prosperous under the all prosperous one. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. One preacher put it like this. You will be able to deal wisely in all of the affairs of life. Now listen to this statement. You don't, and I don't, make my way prosperous just by knowing the Word. But we make our way prosperous by being doers of the Word. How many of you know it's one thing to know the Word? It's another thing to act on what you know. What does the book of James tell us? The book of James in chapter 2, verse 17 says that faith without actions is dead. Read with me the amplified version of James 2:17. Let's read. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, destitute of power, inoperative and dead. I believe it's Weymouth's translation that says, faith without corresponding actions is dead. Well, we don't want dead faith. What is dead faith? Well, dead faith basically is faith that is ignored. Dead faith is inactive, that is inactive. Active faith is alive faith. Active faith is faith in motion. When you are active with your faith, you become poetry in motion. Woo, glory to God. Amen. So we do not want dead, inoperative faith. So that's why I encourage you to use your faith on something every day. Amen? Start out Monday morning by believing to get to work on time. Or just being able to get to work. Or how about this? Being able to have a job. Use your faith for that. Somebody says, well, I don't really like the job I have. Well, rejoice in what you have and be faithful where you are, and God will promote you either where you are or will enable you not to stay where you are and give you a better place.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. How many can testify that that's happened in your life?
Amen.
You see, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Understand this, that faithfulness is an action of your faith. When you're actively faithful, your faith is alive, it's operative, and it's working in your life. Use your faith every day. I mean, on the first sneeze, don't say, "Oh, I guess I'm getting a cold." Why not just say, "I'm taking healing. I believe I'm healed. This is my receiving day." Well, you know, Pastor Mark, everybody in the family has this and has that, and you are around them all week long. Well, instead of being afraid of what might come upon you, use your faith today.
Yes.
You see, the Bible says that now is the day of your salvation. Right now is the day of your deliverance. Right now is the day of your faith. So we do not want dead, inoperative faith. We want faith that is active. Amen. And so instead of getting bummed out and saying, "Oh man, this is happening again. Wow, this happened to me last year," or "I've been through this circumstance before," why not just rejoice and be glad that God took you through that experience and brought you through it? And have this attitude. This is the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith says this: this is just another opportunity for God to prove himself strong in my life. Oh, come on, somebody. I thought you'd get a little happier. Say with me, this is just another opportunity for God to show up and for him to show out in my life. Hey, he's a show up, show out kind of God. Is he not more than enough? So we should not be acting like that he's less than the least. Woo, hallelujah. Say with me, my God is more than enough. So all I'm saying this morning is this. If you want to develop a strong spirit and a more robust faith in a particular area, you must feed on the word of God and then exercise your faith in that word in that area. For example, healing. We need to be feeding on healing all the time. The Bible says, attend to his word. Incline your ear to his sayings. Don't let them depart from before thine eyes. For God's word is life to those that find them. And what else is it? It is health, or it is medicine to all their flesh. Feed on God's word concerning healing. How about this? Feed on God's word concerning favor. You know, the book of Proverbs says that we have favor with God, but not only with God, but we have favor with man. Oh, hallelujah. Say with me, I have favor. I got favor with God, but I've also got favor with man. So don't look at man as your enemy. Look at man as a person that can promote you under the hand of God. See, feed on favor scriptures. Psalms 5:12 says, the favor of God is like a shield and it surrounds you. So everywhere you go, you have the favor of God. You know, my beautiful wife, Brenda, has what we call parking favor. The kids used to actually kind of put her down a little bit. Oh, mom's got parking favor. And they're going to the mall. And sure enough, a parking spot right in front. The other day we were going somewhere and it looked like the parking lot was full, but a place opened up for us. And I said, thank you, Lord, for parking favor.
Right.
Is God interested in you having favor?
Yes.
Is he interested in you in having parking favor?
Yes.
Come on, I'm going to get the ladies with me right now. How about shopping favor?
Yes.
And the men went, oh. Don't nullify your wife's faith by being a bummer.
Oh, I heard that.
And you know, it's amazing to me. Every time she goes to a store, there's always a sale. And she will come home so happy. She says, look, Mark, look. Look what the Lord hath done. And I'm saying to myself, they had that same sale 3 weeks ago. So she has a disposition and an attitude of divine favor. And God wants you to have the same thing. He doesn't want you going around life feeling like you're rejected. He wants you to go through life feeling like you're the accepted in the Lord. That you are His beloved. Amen? And that His hand is upon you. And I tell you what will happen. That'll change your attitude. That'll change your disposition. If you will see yourself the way that God sees you, I will guarantee you others will begin to see you the same way. Ooh, glory to God. I speak a word of favor over you. I speak favor over you. I speak favor over you at the mall. I speak favor over you while you're buying a car. I'm speaking favor over you. And I'm speaking increase over your life. Hallelujah. Say it with me. I receive it. I believe it. And I receive it today. Amen. Act like you're prosperous. How does a prosperous one act? Well, one way a prosperous man or woman acts, they get their mouth in line with the word. They keep their mouth away from the circumstances, and they say what God's word says concerning increase. Amen. Here's one that really, really blesses everybody, blesses all of humanity. How many of you know we need to develop our love muscle? We need to develop our forgiveness muscle. Is that right? Now, let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you were tempted not to forgive? I think that's 100% of us. So act on the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart.
Yes.
Here's what Corinthians says. Love is patient.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love endures long. Yeah. Love is kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It's not fretful or anything like that. You know, a lot of times I'll catch myself, you know, on the road, and man, traffic will be heavy, and over there in the speed lane, you know, someone's going like 10 miles an hour. And I look at Brenda and say, I am patient. I endure long. And I am kind. I mean, I'd rather be that way than get all stressed out. And talking to them and saying things to them that they can't hear.
I know.
They can't hear a word you're saying. But God can hear you saying, I endure long. I'm patient. I am kind. I forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. Amen. I like tea. Thank you for tea. Anybody want to have tea? We could have high tea. We could have tea and crumpets. And we could act so particular. Bernard and I were in London one day. And we went to the Ritz. And we had high tea. And it was a high time. Oh, yes, I spilled, whatever. She's used to it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Amen. So in closing, let me just share with you a couple things. You okay?
Yes.
It's 11:13. All right. Everybody good?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
But you're not okay.
Okay.
Now say it with me. I'm okay.
I'm okay.
And you're okay.
You're okay.
All right. Good. But just let me share a couple things about this message that will help you to release your faith. Anybody interested in releasing their faith? Now, one action of our faith and an action of our believing is simple. It's rejoicing.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord sometimes.
Always.
No, it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And understand this, when Paul wrote that, he was in prison. How could the apostle Paul rejoice while he was in prison? Because he made a conscious decision that he was going to rejoice in spite of his circumstances.
Yeah.
Rejoice always. Amen. I got to thinking about all the things that God has done for other people, and the devil's trying to tell me, but God's not done that for you. And I was kind of like this. And the Lord said, rejoice.
Yeah.
So I got up on my rug and I started rejoicing. I started thanking God for what he's done for others and thanking God that he's no respecter of persons.
Yeah.
See, our attitude needs to be, well, poor me. Our attitude needs to be, me too.
Yeah, me too.
How many me toos do we have here in the church today? Oh, say it three times. Me too, me too, me too. Amen. So one action of our faith and believing is rejoicing. If you truly believe the word of God, then you will rejoice. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, whom having not seen. How many of you have not seen the full manifestations of things that you believe you've received?
Yeah.
So he says, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though you now see him not, yet what?
Rejoice.
Yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Listen to this statement. Faith is motion activated. And rejoicing is a motion that activates your faith. I'm going to say that once again. Faith is motion activated. Just like when you go into the bathrooms in some of these places around, like you go to Oakland International Airport, you use the restroom and you go to wash your hands. And, you know, you're waiting for the water to start flowing. And you're looking around to see how in the world do I do that. But on the wall it says equipment is motion activated. So you put your hand under it and all of a sudden the water and the soap comes out. Right? Well, folks, when you rejoice in the Lord and you give him your best rejoicing, the water of life begins to flow. The goodness of God begins to flow in your life. C.S. Lewis said this, joy is the serious business of heaven.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Jamar, if joy is the serious business of heaven, and it is the will of God for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, it ought to be our serious business here on earth.
Amen.
Oh, I thought I'd get a better amen.
Amen.
Do I have to go over to this side?
Yes.
If it's the will of God for joy to be in full manifestation in heaven, and it's his will for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's his will for us to rejoice here. Here. Right here. Right in the nasty now and now. I'm going to run. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to dance. Whew, hallelujah. I think some morning we ought to have a dance off. You know, back in American Bandstand, they had a dance off. They had lines and they did a lot of dances, you know, and man, they really got after it. Well, glory to God. When you start dancing in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, it is poetry in motion. It's an expression of what you believe that you have received. It expresses the joy of the Lord and it strengthens your spirit. And it gives your soul rest and peace. Say it with me, I'm a rejoicer. Ooh, hallelujah. Mark Hankin said this. He said, while you're praising and rejoicing and dancing around, God is moving angels to work on your behalf. One act of faith will open up the supernatural and cause the glory of God to come in. One person said this, if you only knew what happened in the spirit when you rejoice, you'd rejoice every day. Furthermore, rejoicing is a demonstration that you believe God's promises and trust His faithfulness to do what He has promised. Here's what David said. How many of you like David? I mean, David knew how to rejoice. He was in some really difficult circumstances, yet he encouraged himself in the Lord. In Psalms 119:162, he said, "I rejoice at your word as one that findeth great spoil." When you authentically rejoice in the Lord is when you will see the supernatural occur in your life. And I've also discovered this. When I rejoice for real, I get anointed with fresh oil. Causing me what? Causing me to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Another way, and there's many different ways that we can express our faith, but another way in closing, another action of your faith in believing is in your saying. Say this with me. Another action of my faith and my believing is in my saying. See, one of the greatest actions of your faith is your words. Speaking God's word is an action of your believing. You know, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
He said in verse 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of you have believed in your heart and said with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Amen.
What happened when that happened? Your inner man was recreated.
Yeah.
You became a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And the same principle is true for every area of life. The spirit of faith expresses itself like this. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we have believed, and we have in the same spirit of faith as it is written. Read the rest with me. I believed. Now let's just keep that up there just for a moment. It's important that you speak what you believe. For faith to be fully expressed and for faith to be fully activated, your words must be spoken. Paul said, I believed, and therefore will I speak. And then he says, we also believe, and therefore we will speak what we believe. It isn't taught very much, but speaking God's word is literally an action of your faith. It's one way that we act on what we believe is by saying what God's word says about us.
Amen.
See, confession literally is this. Confession is basically saying the same thing about oneself that God has already said. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to make it a reality in your life? He's always made it a reality in your life. All you got to do is believe it and speak it.
Amen.
Glory to God. We believe.
Yeah.
Therefore, have we spoken. One writer says it this way, faith moves God and faith moves mountains.
Yes.
However, faith will not move anything until it moves you. And the first part of you that your faith will move is your mouth.
Yes.
See, verbalizing the word is an action. Calling those things which be not as though they were is an action.
Amen.
When you feel weak, call yourself strong.
Amen.
Let the weak say,
I am strong.
Yeah.
When you feel like you can't get out of bed in the morning, say, the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
It is my strength.
Yeah.
When you feel like you just cannot face those ornery people at work, call those things that be not as though they were. And say, thank God the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I'm the light of the world. I'm a peacemaker. And when I come into the room, the atmosphere changes.
That's right.
Position yourself for a great day by what you say. Say it with me. I'm going to position myself for a great day by what I say. You know, we have a trip coming up, and my natural man doesn't really want to go on the trip. But Brenda says, you will. You will go on this trip. And you will have a good time. I felt like I was in Star Wars. I felt like she was using some force or something. And you know, I've been saying since then, I get up in the morning and say, I'm living on Tulsa time. And I've been saying, I will be going to Tulsa, and I will be having a great time. And I will enjoy every moment of it. And that wasn't just the power of suggestion with Pastor Brenda. That was the power of, boy, you will. And my response is, yes, I will. Now, how many of you, honestly, have felt, I just don't feel like rejoicing?
Yeah.
Well, David said, I will rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah, I chose to.
In spite of my feelings, I choose to rejoice. I wonder if we could just, you know, kind of maybe rejoice for 10 seconds. I mean, could we? Amen. Glory to God. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. David said, I'm going to rejoice like a man that's found great spoil. Hallelujah. Could we just do the wave? Let's start over there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you aren't going to rejoice no matter what I say. And that's just okay. Because I'm okay, but you're not. Anyway, we're having fun, right? So verbalizing the word of God, it's an action of your faith. Amen. And a great example of this is found in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman had an issue of blood, 12 years. She suffered many things of people at Kaiser and all the other places. And she spent everything she had, and she didn't get better. What happened to her? She got worse. But oh, thank God she heard of someone that could do something about her situation. When she heard of Jesus, what did she do? She came in the press behind. See, people were pressing upon Jesus. But the Bible says she pressed through the crowd and she touched his garment. Why did she do that? Because she heard something. Say it with me, she heard something. Now notice verse 28. For she said, she must have believed that Jesus could do something about this issue of blood. For she said, she verbalized her faith. And she said, and one translation says, she kept saying. How many of you know we got to enter into the zone of keep saying? That has to do with holding fast to the confession of our faith. For she kept saying, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She heard something and she said something. Verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately Jesus knew it, that power had gone out of him. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Luke says, somebody touched me. This woman with the issue of blood was not a nobody to Jesus. She was a somebody to Jesus. And you are not a nobody. You are somebody to Jesus. And if you want to get his attention, hear from him. Come in the press and touch his garment. and keep saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I am strong and I am healed. Amen?
Amen.
And his disciples said unto him, don't you see the multitude thronging thee, and say thou, who touched me? And he looked around about her to see that her had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and had a testimony meeting. And here's what Jesus said. My great faith has made you whole. Is that what he said?
No.
Are you paying attention?
Yes.
No. He said, your faith has made you whole. Now go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What is it about her faith that activated her healing? She heard, she acted, and she said, and she received her miracle. And you can do the same thing. You can head toward your miracle this morning. You can head toward the miracle of salvation by believing it in your heart and saying it with your mouth. If you need healing in your body, you can come in the press today and you can touch the hem of his garment. He's here in this place. He's our healer. He is the great miracle worker. And you know all he's looking for? He's looking for someone to actively use their faith. Because faith is motion activated. Faith is acting on what you believe.